Thank you, Lord Jesus. There really is something substantial called the anointing. It's your presence. It's the assurance that comes from knowing you're there, that you actually are integrated and involved with and engaged with, willing to be part of our lives. And we certainly want to open up to that today, Lord. We want our experience not to be religious routine. I think I speak for everyone. We want this to be real. We're hardwired for reality. We're hardwired for authenticity. It's just something that we can't do without. So deepen us in these areas, Lord, and stir us. May we be resourceful. May we not bury our talents. May we be obedient, not lunging out doing our own thing, but also not lagging behind, overly protective and guarded. Help us to do out of the box, out of the boat, supernatural Jesus stuff. Amen. Okay, so as was my routine, I walked home from school, which was a mile and a half, 2 miles. And as I walked, I had the blessing of being able to walk by 7-Eleven. I had my books, and then I had my transistor radio, and I would go into the store, and something wonderful had been invented called Slurpees. Everybody say Slurpees. This was a wonderful concoction that was like 90 pounds of sugar and ice and dye, and it came out with Coke flavor. So I was, my world was rocked. So I would go in and I would get this bucket-sized cup. I would fill it up. And what was really cool was right next to it was cherry. So I made cherry Coke Slurpees, and this was my meal. And I would give myself a brain freeze, you know, but it hurt so good, you know, and I would slurp down the Slurpee. During 71 and 72, in my opinion, it was a really fertile year of beautiful music. Beautiful music. Even young people that understand music, there was just great sounds that came out. Not the least of which were some of the gospel-tinged hymns that found their way into pop radio. And listen, from my point of view as a secular lost kid walking through the streets of Southern California, where ridiculously 360 days a year the sky is vivid blue and sunshiny, I was walking along listening, and on would come the Edwin Hawkins Singers' Oh Happy Day. Remember that one? Yeah. And also, right in the midst of that, would come songs about From Godspell. And the song that got to number 13 on the pop charts in 1972, I think it was, I listened to these lyrics day by day, day by day. Should we sing it? Let's sing it together. No. Oh, dear Lord, three things I pray. And this is my sermon outline. Number one, to see thee more clearly. Can you say that? See thee more clearly. Number two, love thee more dearly. Can you say it? Love thee more dearly. Number three, follow thee more nearly. This inspired me. This stirred my heart. And this is what I want to pray about, and this is what I want to talk to you about. These are the things I pray. Lord, give us an open heart, a stir of increased love, and an aspiration to follow you, not from a distance, but very closely. A closer walk with you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So those are the results I'm targeting. These are the things I'm trusting God for. That song stood out to me as such a structured idea that it's actually a prayer song where somebody's crying out for these three things. Oh, day by day, day by day. And I thought about it too. Did you guys notice how daily life is? Life is just so daily. And since we're talking about music theater and musicals, there was also a musical called Fiddler on the Roof. And there was a song, Sunrise, Sunset, Sunrise, Sunset. I'm not going to sing this stuff to you, but it's in my head. Sorry. Ecclesiastes 1:5, Solomon said, also the sun rises and the sun sets. And after it sets, it rises again. And then it comes around and it sets. And then lo and behold, it comes back and it hastens to its place. And then it rises there again. And then it rises and it sets and it rises and it sets. And the Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 12, that to teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. So life is daily. And Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus exhorted us in Matthew 6, 33 through 34, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to us. And that's really the tone of this song, day by day, day by day, sunrise, sunset, every day. Life is so daily. But, oh Lord, in the midst of all this daily life, three things I pray. And it says in Matthew 6, 34, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry. Don't sweat about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't you wish Jesus hadn't said that? But yet it's so honest. I'm glad he did, you know. My mama didn't tell me there'd be days like this, but Jesus did tell us there would be days like this. You know, mama said there'd be days. I mean, I'm going all musical here. We're going to choreograph the end of the message. And we're going to sing the song. It's funny because I tell Patsy I hate musicals because they're so, nobody's standing out working in the lumberyard and then all of a sudden a bunch of studs start singing together and rowing, you know, and moving and dancing and choreography. They do not do that. Patsy loves them. And here I am honoring that and I'm preaching from a musical. But it's so deep to me, you guys. Can we just talk? One of the number one prayer requests I've gotten over the last 30 plus years of ministry is, would you pray that I'd have a closer walk with the Lord? Van Morrison comes out with beautiful songs, Brown Eyed Girl and Domino and all that kind of stuff. But he also comes out with, there was a song, an album called Avalon Sunset. And on it, he had this hymn, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. Can I tell you, Jesus does want to walk closely with you. He would leave 99 sheep and go retrieve you. In fact, I was one of those guys. He did that for me. He does that for me. He will continue to do that for us. He has a way of saying, 99 sheep, hey, you're cool. I'm going to go get this one. And somebody said, well, Pastor Jeff, then are the 99 just left there on their own? No, because Jesus is everywhere, man. So just deal with it. Quit being so weird. Does that mean he'd go get the one and let us all be neglected and ignored? No. It underscores, though, that like no other being ever, he has the capacity and the inclination to deal with you and be with you and desire to connect with you as if you were his only child, as if Jesus can't be spread too thin. It's impossible for his energies to be depleted. I'm grateful he's no respecter of persons, so he doesn't have favorites. And any honest, decent parent tries their best to not put more of a love on a kid than another. We should never have partiality. He's no respecter of persons. He loves you with white hot heat. God loves you and cares about you and values you. So we need to see this. It's number one. Oh, dear Lord, three things I pray. To see thee more clearly. In Ephesians, the first chapter in the 18th verse, these three things I pray. Paul, in fact, prayed this for the church. Now, let me say something quickly about the doctrine of prayer, because there's some confusion that comes in prayer. There are prayers that are to be prayed one time, but then there are prayers to be prayed with repeating. We know we're not to have meaningless repetition like the Pharisees, so there is an approach of prayer of just droning, meaningless, repetitive prayer. Well, then that must mean there is meaningful repetitive prayer, and I want to tell you there is. Now, we live in St. Louis, which is a sport town. And there are a lot of sports, ball games. There are a lot of ball games. Name some different sports. Hockey. Baseball. Hockey. Hockey has a puck. And so that's not part of my sermon message. And you knew that. And I want the ushers to get this guy. I'm going to come over here. That's a little annoying there. Basketball. Soccer. Football. Baseball. You guys got a lot of sleep. You're really rowdy. Telling me badminton and hockey. Please help me with my sermon, you guys. I need all the help I could get. If you played basketball, thank you. And ping pong. I'm just going to stay right over here where it's safe. Listen, seriously, how many of you, you know you're called a prayer, that we're to be a house of prayer. You know prayer is important. Yeah. Well, there's even a new TV show where it comes on in the dialogue that People are looking at the randomness of life, but religion has answered this emptiness, and it's called prayer, where you're communicating in unison to God. I thought, wow, I don't know if it's New Agey or if there's a Christian there or what, but somebody's yearning for connection. Somebody's making a statement or at least creatively writing. And I believe for sure that God's called us to closeness, to nearness, to connection, to interaction. He designed us for His plans and purposes. And He wants us, as you could see in the prototype moment with Adam and Eve, to fellowship with Him in the cool of the day and have uninterrupted fellowship. Sadly, with our free will, we forfeited our connection. We were banished from the garden. We fell. We were alienated and separated. But thank God Jesus came at the right time to rescue us and restore us back into deep, close connection with God, and including white-hot, effective prayer life. Now, if you use baseball rules with basketball, it's going to be weird. So I want to say this to you. There's a prayer of faith. James chapter 5 says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Do you keep repeating the prayer of faith? No, I think there are some one-time prayers where you pray and you believe you receive. And then from then on, in reference to what you prayed, you say, Father, on such and such a date, I took my stand. Same thing with the prayer of agreement. If two of you agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who's in heaven. This is where people get confused in the church, because we think we got to keep re-praying those things. Because there is intercessory prayer and there's supplication that implies we're to pray all the time. Now this is funny, because we had dinner and Patsy prepares delicious meals and the kids were sitting around the table, and I said to my youngest son, Kingston, I'd like you to pray over the food. He said, Dad, listen. A few days ago, I prayed for all the meals for the rest of history. He was serious. This is a preacher's kid that's sharp. And he says, Dad, I figured it out. I prayed. So I don't need to pray anymore. Now, when Patsy and I had our honeymoon, we got food poisoning on our honeymoon. It was bad. I mean, it was really bad. It wasn't just like a little bit. It was like we felt paralyzed. It was from seafood and it was bad. We got delivered, but it taught me, pray over everything before you put it in your mouth. So, but I thought you could pray the prayer of faith once and say, well, same thing with our dealings with the devil. He's the God of this world. And until, you know, we're with the Lord, we're going to have to deal with the flesh. We're going to have to deal with the devil. We're going to have to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. There are some things, however, you pray, you're in agreement. You don't need to keep digging it up and re-praying it. Sometimes re-praying a certain stand of prayer, it's like implying, I didn't think I really got it the first time. Well, there, along the lines of the prayer of faith, it says in Ephesians 6:18, praying in all manner of prayer. So there are various types of prayer. We get confused about this, so we need to focus in on it. So there are some continual prayers I'm going to pray. There's some things, though, that I'm going to stand and I'm going to believe. And then in reference to it, I'm going to say, Father, thank you that I was heard. These are the things I'm believing you for. And I'm going to continue to stand on the promises of God regarding it. When I reference it, I don't need to keep re-praying it, because I've already sought the Lord about it. You say, well, what about that example of the unjust judge and the lady? There is intercession. I'm interceding for our city. I'm interceding for our generation. I'm continually offering up prayer about the nations. There are things about worship and praise where I've sung the same song 65,000 times, and I'm going to sing it 65,001 because it's worth bringing back up to the Lord. He's worthy of our praise, continually offering up a sacrifice of praise. In the case of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, these are prayers you should pray and pray and pray and pray. All the time, pray about these things. Look what it says in the first chapter, verse 18. It says, I pray, and this is the part, I just want to stop at the first part. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I am going to constantly pray for light to come into my situations. I'm going to constantly, continually ask God for wisdom. In James chapter 1, it says, count it all joy when you encounter various temptations, tests, and trials, brethren, knowing that the trying of your faith works perseverance and patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. And then it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously. And he does not withhold, he does not upbraid, he does not scold. He gives generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. So this is something I asked for wisdom when the church flooded, and I was at a place I had never been to before. I asked for wisdom when I stood at the altar and got married, because I had never been a husband before. I ask for wisdom as I deal with the nuances of the personalities of the people I'm here to serve. And I say, Lord, I need wisdom. In fact, if you want to know my interior world while I'm standing there listening and talking to you, I'm listening with my physical ears and I'm desperately believing God that the eyes of my understanding are going to be enlightened, that I could see him more clearly in the situation of life, that I could see him in this, what seems to be random and chaotic. Lord Jesus, where are you in this? I think of Peter when they saw, who's that? Somebody's walking on the water. It's a ghost. And then, wait, we think it's Jesus. And Peter goes, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. He said, it is I. And he goes, whoo, whoo. I'm looking for Jesus. Yes. I'm looking for Jesus moments. Yes. I'm looking for Jesus moments in my day by day by day by day by day. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for Jesus right now. I'm desperate for Jesus right now. Jesus, where are you in this? Jesus, what would you have me do? I need to see you more clearly. And if there's such a thing as the eyes of my heart, then I need them to be enlightened. Don't get skeptical and don't get cynical. God can handle your questions, but he doesn't like apathy. Don't be passive either. At least have the courtesy to seek. At least have the courtesy to ask. And if you're at a place in your spiritual life where it's like, I don't know, man, I don't know, then at least say to God, God, if this is so, reveal it to me. Because God is all about showing and telling. He does actually provide revelation to you. A spirit of wisdom and revelation can come to a believer. This will help you. It'll take you out of a hollow, shallow experience and bring you into clarity. Bring you into clarity. And I'm not talking about a bunch of visions and dreams and all this hyped up stuff. I'm talking about following God in a sensitivity and a receptivity where you develop your spiritual life. He said, my sheep know my voice. I'm talking about sight here, but also voice. To hear, to connect, to see. We are actually designed by God to walk with him. To walk with him and have a heart for him. Turn to Luke chapter 19, verse 3. I want to show you I think is a cool story. Luke 19, there's a man named Zacchaeus who was vertically challenged. This is very interesting. He was hungry for God, though. And Jesus was entering into Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. So this gives us a very brief and but thorough profile of this man. And Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. Look at verse 3. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. I repeat, Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. This is cool. This is beyond the beyond of the words. It implies, in addition to the fact that he saw a crowd and he was interested and his interest was piqued and he thought, what's stirring up the crowd? Is Jesus? I want to see Jesus. And he couldn't stand on his tiptoes behind everybody because he was vertically challenged. It says that he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. But he didn't let that stop him. He didn't let that stop him. He wanted to see him more clearly. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him. You know, sometimes you have to do things in order to see him. Sometimes we have to put some things aside. Sometimes we've got to get out of the crowd, get to run ahead and get away from the crowd. Sometimes we've got to get up in a place and position ourselves. You know, we used to have church at Page Avenue Salvation Army Chapel. Captain Ken Reed was the pastor. Down in the basement, they had a drug treatment program, halfway house. Upstairs, they had a beautiful chapel with wooden pews that had been built by a congregation in the 60s. And they put up a beautiful sign on the back of the building so that whenever I got up in the pulpit, I could see, sirs, we would see Jesus. Sirs, we would see Jesus. And every time I'd look up at that, that's the bottom line. That's got to be our takeaway in this meeting. That's got to be the moment. We've got, like Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus. And this song, oh dear Lord, three things I pray to see thee more clearly. What would life be like if we became more sensitized to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit Let your anointing fall in this place. The Holy Spirit, we know biblically, is our teacher. In fact, he's doing work right here while I'm doing my work. Concurrent together, we're co-laborers. And I know the best part of the meeting is what the Holy Spirit is conveying to you while I'm preaching. Oftentimes, a preacher will preach and the Holy Spirit will trigger something that will take you. And while you're there, it'll take you into a place and revelation will come to you. That's my prayer, that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. It would make me very happy if your takeaway actually wasn't exactly what I said, but it's something the Holy Spirit brought to you. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. As long as you get something, as long as you get some spiritual nutrition that stirs you to want to pray this kind of prayer, to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, to follow thee more nearly. I like the idea of Zacchaeus. Jesus walks by and he came to the place. He looked up. He said to Zacchaeus, hurry down, come down today. Zacchaeus, today I must stay at your house. Now, some people would think, well, I guess Zacchaeus was famous and Jesus had heard his name. But actually, he was passing through. He entered Jericho and he was passing through. So I don't think you could attribute it to that. This reminds me of the other verse by a tree where a man named Nathanael was under a tree and Jesus saw him and said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And the guy said, how'd you know that? And Jesus said, he knew the hearts of men. So Jesus is interested in somebody praying. This sounds like a pop song from a Broadway musical, but really it's an amazing prayer to see thee more clearly. Makes me want to cry. This is really important stuff. This is better than just consuming a bunch of stuff in our consumer-driven society. This is saying, man, if I could just see and connect with and comprehend the priorities of heaven, and I could connect personally with Jesus, man, it would be pleasing to God. My life would take on some more significant tone. It could just make a difference in the content and the conduct and the inner and outer world of my life. Did for Zacchaeus. He hurried and came down and received him gladly. Zacchaeus connects with Jesus. He's so excited. This guy whose people didn't like him, he's a tax gatherer, he's unliked in society by the description of the first verse. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble. You know who the they are. Saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And of course he is. That's why he came to save sinners. Hallelujah. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and I have defrauded, if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. So you see, obviously, from just that, it doesn't tell us the details of what happened in his contact with Jesus. It shows the results. It's amazing. He comes out and says, I'm a changed man. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, man. That just shows that somebody wanted to see Jesus and Jesus revealed himself to him. If you seek, you'll find. And we in the church world must not allow crusty, callous calcification to grip those vital areas of our lives. We forever need to take the calluses off and keep a tenderness before the Lord and pray, God, I want to see you more clearly. Number two, to love thee more dearly. What's not to love about God? But love, by definition, I would say it boils down to the word value. And you know, Chelsea's here. She's our firstborn child. We took her on the mission field. We moved to England after we graduated from Bible school. We had such a zeal for nations. We wanted to make a difference in countries and nations that needed a move of God. And we realized England was a place we should go. So we went to England. We enjoyed wonderful connection and opportunity, great favor amongst just different denominations. We had, in fact, so much itinerary that we had to really concentrate it because the doors were really opening. Now, Chelsea was a little baby, and we had a diaper service in Tulsa with, the diaper pail and everything. But when you're on the road traveling a lot, and I know there are diaper people and there are new things now that are better, but back in the 70s, or in the early 80s, this was not the case. So there were these new disposable diapers that came on the market. But in England, there were hardly any selections. We would go into Boots Pharmacy, and there was a guy that was a pastor that was our friend, And he drove us in his little three-wheel Robin fiberglass car. It was like a little motorcycle with a sewing machine engine. And we'd have Chelsea and Patsy would go to churches that were religious, and she'd have to wear hats, and she'd borrow hats from these men, and they'd be these big fur Russian hats. And she'd have like a Greek fisherman hat on, and I'd be standing up there preaching. I'd be, who's that lady with that man's hat on? Oh, we got a lot of stories about all that. But anyway, I was in this store, and I found this bag of diapers, and it was a little, you know, you pick it up, a little bitty thing, and it had a huge price. And this pastor that was with me said, those nappies are so dear. So have you ever been in a situation where you say, excuse me? You get a little bit, you can get some liberty. You could ask, I didn't hear you, excuse me. Those nappies are so dear. I said, okay, so now three times you're a dork. So I went, I don't understand you. He went, those nappies are so dear. So I'm like, so my lightning fast brain realized that dear is not just how you start a letter to your sweetheart. In England, it means something else. So then I had to calculate and I went, oh, expensive, costly, valuable. This is when I realized the word dear and its expanded meaning. To love thee more dearly isn't sappy. And none of us want to get into some sort of romanticized, weird sentiment. We want to correctly develop in the love of God and in the love we have for each other. In fact, in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, we know the famous declaration of Jesus, boiling it down, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is the big deal of the big deals, with a capital D-E-A-L, big, huge, underscore, italicized, exclamation point. Amen. Loving God. Valuing God. Get it? Loving people as you love yourself. And they say, we are offended by that because we think, well, I know people that are vain and stuck on themselves, and I don't want to have anything to do with that. That's not what the Bible's teaching. Loving yourself doesn't mean, I'm awesome. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Oh my goodness, I'm God's gift to the world. That's arrogance. That's pride. That's offensive in the eyes of God. It's annoying to people. You get around the people and go, note to self, avoid this one. But on the other hand, when you understand you're paid for by the blood of Jesus, you'll carry a security that's not egotistical. You'll get settled on your sense of place in life. You'll realize, I am what I am by the grace of God, and that grace has not proved vain. You'll realize, I'm a new creature in Christ. Jesus bothered to pay for my life with his own blood at 33 years old. The least I could do is man up or woman up and serve him for the remainder of my days. There's a place for you in this, and I like this song. I know it might be a little cheesy Broadway show stuff, but really it's a deep prayer. I want to see God more clearly. I want to see what God's saying in my conflicts as well as in my blessings. I want to see what God has planned for me through the day. In fact, day by day by day, sunrise, sunset, one of the verses in Ecclesiastes said, morning sowing, sow in the morning and sow in the evening. Because you don't know whether you're going to get the results from the morning sowing or the evening sowing. So my view is spend time in the Word. You got to see God. Look into the Scriptures. Look into the Word of God, Old and New Testament. Spend time in fellowship. Get in this place of prayer. Connect with Him. And realize also in Romans 5:5, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You actually are a love creature. You are designed to be ruled and led by love. And when you give your heart to Jesus, one of the first things you're saying is, I value you as supreme over every other lesser thing in the world. You are central. When you say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, you're saying you transcend all other issues of life, all other values of life. Take a back seat. You are primary. Everything else is secondary. And then, God, I pray this grows, ever increasing, that our love would abound yet more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. In fact, Philippians 1:9 says that In fact, this is another one of those repetitive prayers we should pray. We're praying to see thee more clearly and so forth, to love thee more dearly. This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment. The result will be when you're walking in this atmosphere of loving God more dearly, loving others, loving your neighbor as yourself. It says in the next verse, verse 10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. The payoff is an excellent life. The payoff is, instead of becoming bitter and harsh and dismissive and weird and self-centered, narcissistic, you keep this value thing. You love the Lord, you value Him. You love your neighbor, you value them. As you love yourself, you value, you see the value. I'm paid for by the blood of Jesus. I'm not trash. I'm not disposable. Now, there was a lady who was attributed to this atheist years ago that she snubbed a Christian who was talking to her. You're just like soda bottles, no deposit, no return. But the fact of the matter is there's a great deposit. We're earthen vessels, but we have soda bottles, true. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. The excellency of the glory would be of God and not of us. And return, Jesus is returning, and we're having a resurrection to look forward to. And these atheists that get upset about believers, well, the reason religion is created is to combat the fear of death. It makes it easier for everybody to glide into the eternal oblivion. Well, I don't believe it's eternal oblivion, and here's why. I believe in the biblical view that says we're eternal. I fundamentally walk in the light of eternal life. And I've done over 1,000 funerals at this point. So I've buried a small Missouri town already. So I live in the profound, not morbid, but reality of the brevity of life. That's why Psalm 90, verse 12 is important. Teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. It's tough, but this is really what we're facing. Lord Jesus, day by day, I want to see you more clearly. Starting today, can we just believe God we're going to get some revelation? We're going to see things clearer? Our eyes are going to get less dull and our ears are going to unclog and our hearts are going to get more tender to the Lord. Can we do it? Yes. Life bashes us around so much we get insulated and overly guarded. I know that's one of my tendencies. And to isolate, we get hurt and we don't want to be around people. We want to go lick our wounds off on the corner. Thank God Jesus goes and retrieves us and says, listen, do not forsake the assembling together, which is the habit of some. Stay connected. Stay connected. Yeah, but those are the people that bug me. Yeah, but get in that environment. It's training you for eternity. This is our incubation period for our eternity. What we do with it is important. To see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly. I've set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be moved. And then number three, my favorite, to follow thee more nearly. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We're called the followers of Christ. He's the leader, we're following. Even Paul said, be followers of me as I am of Christ. And it is important that we understand that he's our shepherd. And we need to develop. I mean, as much as we learn about leadership skills, we who are called into leadership responsibilities in homes, business, church, whatever, we've got to be developing our following skills. And I want to follow him more nearly. Because I was in a Boy Scout situation where I followed my leader farther away than I should, and I got lost in the woods. And as soon as I realized I was lost, I started running. And it's kind of funny how we human beings, we get lost and we start running, like we think being chicken with our head cut off running is going to get us unlost. It just got me more lost. It got me farther away from the path. I had to stop, and I had to start retracing, getting back. And this is the same thing with fellowship with God. We return to the shepherd and the guardian of our soul. We draw near to him, and he guarantees he'll draw near to us. I want to say something about God on this. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's elaborate about this. His name means Emmanuel, God with us. From his end, he does not want us to have unbroken fellowship. He does not want us to be so distanced that we're barely kind of like a fire out in the winter. You build a fire. If you get close to the fire, you stay toasty warm. But you could just back off a little bit and you get really cold. So Jesus is calling us to closeness. And when you're close to him, you can see the nuances. That's what I love about the Gospels. These were eyewitness accounts of people who were there with him. Their hands handled, their eyes saw, their ears heard. And so we're put in touch with eyewitness accounts. And that blesses me as a guy with eyes and ears and tangible kind of, that's my learning thing. It's like a, what do you call that? Like tactile learner, you know. That's why when the guy gave me the gospel tract that had drawings on it, it's like, thank you. It put me in touch with the holy God and sinful man and sin that separates, but then the cross that came to bridge, and that by receiving Jesus, you are forgiven. Thank God it was simple enough for a child to get it, but deep enough to keep you through eternity. Say this with me, day by day.
Day by day.
Day by
day.
Oh, dear Lord.
Three things I pray.
Ready? To see thee more clearly.
To love thee more dearly.
To follow thee more nearly.
This is beyond the therapy of the moment. Let's just make this beyond a church moment. Let's carry this, shall we?
I pray you'd get on the mend in your spiritual heart, that your eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Some of you have been in a fog. Some of you set your eyes and looked away from and averted your eyes away from the Lord. You've lost interest in the Lord. I want to encourage you to return to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. Then also this love thee more dearly. Listen, this is a God thing. And God is God. And he is to be reverenced. So we reverence him. And where we feel like our hearts have grown cold, we ask God, who is a consuming fire, to do something with that. To stir that. The church world calls it revival. What does revival look like? Whatever your particular need is right now, to adjust and draw close. But the payoff for me, to follow thee more nearly, a closer walk with thee, grant it Jesus if you please. Man, Zacchaeus got close to Jesus. Jesus, he ran to see him. Jesus said, I have to go to your house. He put a demand on God's presence. So did the Syrophoenician woman. So did blind Bartimaeus. So many people in the scriptures. Connect with this. Let's pray before we go. Father, I ask that you would do a great stirring in all of our hearts. Forgive us. And thank you for your forgiveness. Pour out a renewed sensitivity, a sharpness in our hearts. Deliver us from all the weird stuff. Deliver us from distraction, the weapons of mass distraction. I bind every demon that's tried to hinder each one of us. In the name of Jesus, I push back those principalities and powers and those forces that try to hinder, the accuser of the brethren that accuses us before God day and night has been cast down. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto death. Lord, today we humble ourselves to obey you. If there are people here who have not received Jesus, I pray you'd provide and grant them repentance and they'd surrender and turn their lives completely over to you. God, if people have grown apathetic or cynical, I pray they get set free from that attitude, no matter who they are. And God, I pray that you would stir in us a fresh fire in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.